The sports world keeps on turning. That's why we bring you Saturday Sports Talk. Kick your weekend off with the week's top headlines in sports. Get in the game by calling 656-9900 or toll free at 1-866-656-9900. Star 99 is a free call for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. This is Saturday Sports Talk. Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Hour number two, a Saturday Sports Talk begins. I'm Joel Silverberg from the Budweiser Studios of Cumulus Broadcasting. Logan Ward producing this morning on the opposite side of the glass. Eric Kane is out in Farragut at the Village Green Shopping Center. You can go by and say hello to him because he is getting ready to watch some dogs get into some serious acrobatics at the Dog Days Ford nationally sanctioned regional canine aquatics competition. Ange, I'm hearing some commotion in the background over there. What time does all the competition start?
Well, first of all, it's starting at 9 o'clock, so we're getting going right now. But did you just call me Ange?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, it is very loud here. Thought you called me Ange. Obviously, you know that's very much an insult. So
I was like, Joe,
I didn't know why you're coming at me like that. But no,
I totally called you Ange. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, I was like, well, I know I'm not hearing stuff. Our listeners know that is very much an insult. So I just wanted to get that out there. But no, it's getting started at 9 o'clock. I mean, the rain is coming down right now, but they're going to jump rain or shine. Of course, you know, lightning. There's not supposed to be a chance, a very low percentage of lightning and strong winds here today. But as long as it's raining, these dogs are going to be jumping, and they're about to get going. Again, the big air, the extreme vertical, the speed retrieve. These dogs are out here making catches better than anybody I see on Sundays. So it's a whole lot of fun. It is absolutely free all day long, free admission. There's vendors, there's concessions, and there's some of the best canines around the world right here in Farragut, Tennessee at 11505 Kingston Pike for the Dog Days 4 event.
So every dog I've ever owned absolutely hates water and won't go outside in the rain regardless of how light it's sprinkling or anything like that. So if I had a dog in this competition, they would just be like, you know what? I'm out.
Well, you know, it's funny because all these dogs are, I mean, obviously they're so well trained and they're, you know, jumping off the platform, making the catches, and then they're, you know, going into the water and then they're swimming all the way around the pool, going the long way and then just going right up the ramp. And so obviously these dogs love water, but it is funny because if you had a dog growing up all your life that hated water, he or she would not fare well here at the Stenmart and Planet Fitness Shopping Center right here at the Village Green Shopping.
I don't know what it is, but I've owned three dogs in my life, and every one of them has hated water. Won't go outside in the rain.
I think it's awesome how dogs just know how to swim. Like, if you have a little puppy and you hold them, or, you know, hold it above, like, water, they start doing the doggy paddle, like, in air, and I think that's the cutest thing in the world. But, yeah, dogs know how to swim, so it's weird that your dog just didn't just naturally want to go into the water.
So you think it's awesome that an animal just instinctively knows how to do something?
Yes.
Like a fish?
But it's not a fish, though.
I think it's incredible that a fish instinctively knows how to swim.
But a dog is not a fish. I mean, therefore, like, what, Logan?
So, like, we know how to walk, though.
Well, you have to learn. No. You have to learn how to walk. Now, we learn how to walk at an early age, but dogs just know how to swim. I mean, it's just an instinct. They just know how to swim. I don't know. I think it's cool.
Kind of like how it's an instinct for a fish to know how to swim.
Yes, but it's not a... But the point is, it's not a fish. It's a dog.
Whatever, Ange.
I think it's so crazy that a cat instinctively knows how to bathe itself. Anyway.
Listen, we're at a dog event today. Let's not talk about cats.
Anyway, earlier this week, a conference call with SEC head football coaches became somewhat contentious when the scheduling was brought up. Now, we were expected to find out more details about the SEC schedule this past week. We didn't after hearing about the additional two opponents that each team was going to play last Friday. And so the comments have been interesting. And so now you've got SEC coaches that are saying favoritism was played, that the selection process appears that it was corrupt within the SEC. Coaches are PO'd. There was not a lot of clarity and transparency. The conference said, well, they didn't want teams to be playing the same cross-division opponent in back-to-back years. If that's the case, why does Arkansas have to play Georgia this year and in 2021? The call got pretty wild, told us they were trying to balance the totality of the schedule, and that the what was already on our schedule should not have mattered. They weren't giving us a lot of answers. This is what we get. So really, really odd comments coming out of the SEC, and there's been some complaints, but it's interesting to kind of see coaches speak out, obviously anonymously, but still, you're narrowing it down to 14 people that the coaches are not happy with the league. You know, it was one thing when we talked about it last weekend, Eric, about how the fans are obviously unhappy. They feel like their team got hosed, or they feel like their another team got off too easy. Now the coaches are kind of speaking out, essentially suggesting that they were trying to protect the top teams in the SEC.
Yeah, and again, I mean, can you imagine there being some frustration with how that all played out? I mean, obviously there was. And again, we talked about it last week. I mean, when you look at Alabama, it looked like Alabama with its the two additional games, sure, it got off easy. But as we pointed out, already had a pretty tough schedule for this 2020 season. And so I think where the frustration lies is you look at a team like Arkansas that just got absolutely punked, essentially. But how the LSUs, the Alabamas, and the Georgias were kind of protected. And again, it's all about the dollar sign. We all know that. It's the SEC trying to protect its product, trying to get a team, hopefully two, into the college football playoff. But it didn't come as a surprise to me whatsoever when I saw the reports about the call yesterday about how coaches, presidents were a little upset. I think in this unprecedented, excuse me for using that word, I know, but in this time, when there's such a lack of communication and transparency, I think the SEC's done about a better job than any other conference in college athletics, but still, you're not going to make everybody happy. So it wasn't a surprise to me whatsoever to hear about that conference call yesterday.
Yeah, and I think when you're looking at the opponents that were added for each team, it's obviously for somebody like Alabama, it's going to look like Alabama got off scot-free because it got Kentucky and Missouri. But when you consider, okay, well, Alabama already has to play the SEC West. So every team in the SEC West always has a tough schedule because you're having to play Alabama, LSU, Auburn. Well, the thing is with Alabama, it can't play Alabama. It is Alabama. And that's the benefit of being Alabama. And then you look across at the SEC East and see, okay, well, Alabama is playing Georgia. It is playing Tennessee. So it is playing two of the top three teams in the SEC East. And then when you consider what Georgia had before, well, Georgia already has Alabama. Georgia already plays Florida. And it already plays Auburn every season. So you're talking about two of the best three teams in the SEC West. So it appears that it's getting off scot-free when Georgia only has to play Mississippi State and Arkansas. And so I think trying to create that competitive balance can be a little bit difficult, but to see the coaches speaking out on it, I think was very interesting when you're talking about a meeting with conference officials.
Yeah, for sure. And, again, I think everybody would sign up for whichever schedule they got this year. If it means, we do get to have football, we do get to play 10 games, we do get to start on September 26th. It doesn't matter who, if I'm the biggest Tennessee fan in the world, I don't care if I have to play Florida, Alabama, and Georgia, each of those teams twice throughout this 10-game schedule. If that means, getting football, then absolutely sign me up. And so I think that across the board we're all excited, or I think everyone thinks kind of in that line of thought. But nonetheless, seeing the coaches, seeing the president, seeing everybody, kind of come out just kind of shows that, what kind of time it is for sure. But, Joel, let me ask you something. We move on. Obviously, Sunday, last weekend, as soon as we got off the air, man, the MAC conference went ahead and said that it's canceling football, and then it was like dominoes from there. Reports were coming out that by Tuesday, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 would cancel its seasons. They did. And now the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12 are charging on with the intent of pursuing a football season. And I know we'll talk about more about this as the show goes on, but if I had to gauge your confidence level, we like to do this on the starting lineup, 1 through 10, what's your confidence level that the SEC will play a 10-game football season this year?
A full 10-game season, I would probably say about a 3.
Okay, what about this? That there will be some football, some college football this year in the SEC?
A 6.
Okay.
Yeah. Not great, but I'm more optimistic than I was a month ago.
I got to say, I mean, I was like everybody. I mean, I was very, very, I was less confident Sunday night. I mean, I was probably at a 1 or 2 Sunday night. But as the week's gone on, you know, I'd say about a 4 or 5. Again, I think it's important to note as well, and I mean, I talked to Logan about this yesterday. You know, just because Greg Sankey and, you know, the SEC, ACC, Big 12 are, you know, continuing on trying to play football, none of the, Sankey nor the other, Power 3 commissioners have come out and said, without a doubt, we're playing football. You know, we're gonna try. We're gonna exhaust all options. We're gonna be patient and continue to try to find every different scenario. But there's still no guarantee that there's football. But you know, I think that's smart by Sankey and the SEC to build in these weeks. You know, kickoff is not till September 26th. The SEC's starting football camp this Sunday. There are going to be weeks and weeks and weeks that go by leading up to September 26th to where you can monitor the hot spots across the region, the numbers, especially in those home states and those home cities that you're going to be housing football games, and kind of see how these universities as well adapt to bringing students back on campus. And so allowing yourself that time to, again, be patient and to watch and see, you know, how the numbers are affected, I think was so smart. On the other end of the spectrum, the Big Ten just kind of came out and said, hey, well, we're going to go ahead and cancel it. So I think the SEC is going about it the right way, but still a very, very uneasy week in college football for college football fans.
Yeah, and now seeing reports apparently that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are going to try to play a role in not allowing the other three power conferences to go on without them. It was Barrett Salee saying expect a bunch of sources from Big Ten and Pac-12 country to do all that they can to make sure that the SEC, ACC, and Big 12 don't play football this fall. And I'm not really sure what that means, but at the same time, it's not the craziest thing when you think about the idea of, you know, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 not wanting those three power conferences to go on without them and have success in the fall, because how does that reflect from a recruiting standpoint on the Big Ten and the Pac-12? Not great, right?
Yeah, not great at all. And I mean, again, if I was a coach, I'd be exhausting every option and taking advantage of this opportunity as well. I can't fault an SEC coach or an ACC coach for, you know, calling a top 50 prospect saying, hey, up there in Big Ten land, they don't care about football. You know who does? We do. It just means more. So you gotta hand it to these coaches if they are taking that route and pursuing these prospects in that nature. Job well done. Again, this is just a weird time for sure. Joel, I do want to shift gears here for just a minute. We have Scott Brokamp from His Security and Technology. His Security and Technology has been sponsoring our Tell Me Something Good segment each and every Saturday morning for about the last 7 or 8 weeks, and we thank them so much for the opportunity to work with us. We've had a whole lot of fun, and so I'm going to bring Scott on. His Security and Technology, one of the many sponsors that help put on this event every single year, and we're going to do a little live radio, pull the curtain behind. Joel, I'm going to hand it off to you as I take my headset off and hand it to Scott, because we are down a microphone, so I'm going to do that right now. And Joel, take care of Scott. He's a good dude and does a whole lot of work for us.
Yeah, and we're really pleased to have Scott on. Again, Eric is out there at the Dog Days 4 event at the Village Green Shopping Center in Farragut, 11505 Kingston Pike in Farragut, in the parking lot just south of Steinmart and Planet Fitness. The Dog Days 4 nationally sanctioned regional canine aquatics competition, and joined now by Scott Brokamp from His Security and Technology. And Scott, really appreciate you taking the time to join us this morning. His Security and Technology, one of the many sponsors of this event. How did His Security become involved in the Dog Days 4 canine competition?
Well, I got to tell you, you know, there's a lot of reasons behind that. One is we do a lot of things with our friends here at Shop Farragut. Being the fact that our office is literally right across the street from the parking lot here, we're completely ingrained in our community here in the Farragut community in Knoxville West. And so this is a part of how we can help give back. But, you know, we've got a lot of dog-loving employees as well, so it's kind of a natural progression. One of our top system designers, she has a little thing she likes to call a pup of the day. So, you know, for us, it's a natural progression to get out here and be a part and help support this event.
So I'm guessing a lot of dog lovers over there working at His Security and Technology.
Yes. Yeah, you could say that. There is we are definitely animal friendly, you know. So and I can see this is perfect for, you know, the sports animal to be here at the dog event. This thing is awesome. I don't know if you've ever seen this, dude. This is crazily insane and impressive.
What are some of the great things going on in his security and technology right now? We hear Eric Kane talk about this every week, but for somebody the listeners actually want to hear, what are some great things going on in his security and technology?
Well, you know, it's all about utilizing our technologies that we have available today to help do something good and help provide a benefit to customers and businesses in town. You know, there are so many things that we can do and utilize technology for that a lot of times it just gets lost in the fact that, oh, it's a security system. You know, so now we try to help and help people understand how we can use this technology to help benefit us, especially in these times right now with COVID going on and everything in our world. This is a great opportunity for us to take some of these technology pieces and get notifications of what's going on, making sure if the space is supposed to be empty, being able to identify occupancy and those types of items.
Scott Brokamp from His Security and Technology joining us now here on Saturday Sports Talk. And you all don't just provide that technology. You all are licensed installers, correct?
Absolutely. So we are licensed, insured. We not only help design it, we install it and support it for the life of the, you know, of the term of why you're here. And, you know, that's one of the big things about us in security is, again, you know, we're members of the community. You know, we're right here. We probably have one of the few offices you can walk in our front door, and we have it every day. Customers come walk in the front door. Obviously, now you got to wear your mask, but you know, we are customer friendly, and we are here to support our clients for the long haul.
And it's not just security that you provide, but also other technology as well. What are some of the other gadgets and options that you have for people to come by and check out?
Yeah, we do a lot of home automation, obviously, but also a lot in the entertainment business, audio, video. We are Knoxville's premier mantle mount dealer, so we have a special TV mount that literally pulls down and out away from the mantle from above the fireplace. We do a lot of home theater work, a lot of outside audio products. I mean, let's face it, we're in East Tennessee. We love living outside. So we take the music outside for you. We help you extend your living spaces to whatever you need to go to.
And where can folks come by and check out all the great stuff that His Security and Technology has to offer?
Yeah, our address is 11426 Kingston Pike. Of course, you can go to Google Maps and just type in His Security, and it'll bring you right to us. We are literally right across the parking lot here from where this event is being held, where the Fresh Market is, Stein Mart here in Farragut, directly across the street right next to Prestige Cleaners.
Scott Brokamp with His Security and Technology. Scott, did I miss anything? Is there anything else you'd like the listeners to know about His Security and Technology?
You know, I want all of our listeners to know this. We truly, absolutely thank you so very much, because all your listeners, all of our customers, the support that you bring us, it is absolutely amazing. And we're just happy to be able to give back and support, you know, you guys and our communities as well. We wouldn't be anybody without the support of our customers. So that's my big thing, man. That's it. We're here. And we're here for you.
And the community certainly appreciates you as well. Scott Brokamp with His Security and Technology. Scott, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. Really appreciate it. And enjoy the Dog Days 4 event this weekend.
Absolutely. Thank you. Hey, man, we'll get you some pictures. You got to see this.
Oh, without a doubt. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, mate.
All right, that's Scott Brokamp with His Security and Technology. His Security and Technology, you know what that means. It's time to tell you something good.
All right, His Security and Technology, again, you just heard from Scott. Thank you, Scott, so much for joining us here today. And a big thanks to our entire crew over here at the Dog Days 4, Jay Leifert on the engineering staff and the sanitation staff. 6 feet apart, hand sanitizers, masks. We are wiping down the equipment. Thank him so much. Thank you all so much for your part in putting on this remote. So, His Security and Technology, in God we trust, all others we monitor. Visit hissecurity.com today. It's time to tell me something good. Joel, would you like to hit leadoff here this morning?
Yeah, I'll go back to the hockey world, because that's where I spend a lot of time when the playoffs are on. But Vancouver Canucks defenseman Troy Stecher scored a big goal for Vancouver earlier this week on Wednesday against the defending champion St. Louis Blues. That ended up being the go-ahead goal. Vancouver won the game 5-2, but it was noted that he celebrated by pointing towards the sky and giving a big let's go. And come to find out, the goal was meant to honor his father, who just passed away in June. And he said after the game, "I miss my dad every day. It was a big goal at a crucial time in the game. I had a couple seconds there to reflect on my dad." It was the first postseason goal of Troy Stetcher's career. Great stuff. Vancouver got another big win last night. Game three is tomorrow. So Troy Stetcher having a very emotional first round playoff series, and so far been pretty successful in Vancouver as well.
Yeah, that is obviously something good, and saw that story, and looking forward to seeing how it turns out as well. Logan Ward, what you got?
Somebody tell me something good this morning comes from Barry Sanders. So whenever he retired, he kind of retired, and a lot of people didn't really like the way that he, in fact, did retire. So there was a whole bunch of fan mail that was kind of misplaced a while back. You know, the letters from fans were actually addressed to the old Pontiac Silverdome that's, you know, no longer being used by the Lions. And whenever a storage man came to Barry and said, "Hey, you know, we have all these letters," he thought that it was going to be nothing but, you know, hate mail just because of the way he did retire. But it turned out it was just total love from, you know, Detroit Lions fans and, you know, Barry Sanders fans. He opened the letters from kids that, you know, looked up to him, that modeled their game after him. But, you know, one of the coolest things is he had a soldier that was fighting overseas in the Middle East, sent him a letter and said, "Hey, you know, you got me through some tough times playing video games, you know, the old Tecmo Bowl." So just a very, very cool situation. And Barry Sanders said that he was very, very grateful for seeing the letters, and it's obviously a very, very cool story.
One of the greatest to ever do it, and, man, he hung it up a little early as well. It'd be something to see how much longer he could have gone and how productive he could have continued to be throughout his career. But no, that again, that is a great story. It's you know, the fans coming back and writing those heartfelt letters, good on them. All right, so you guys have gone and done some pretty good ones. My turn to step up to the plate, no pun intended. I'm gonna head to the baseball diamond, as I have the last 3 weeks, I do believe. No fans in the stands, at least yet, for Major League Baseball. And I would say that's probably going to be the thing throughout the rest of the 60-game regular season. But no fans in the stands. We've seen anything from cardboard cutouts and, you know, people paying to have their dog on a cardboard cutout. And we've, you know, pumpkin crowd noise. The PA system is still, you know, there. The walk-up music has been fun. But trying to make it as normal as possible. But, you know, point being, it's not normal. It's a pandemic, and fans are not in the stands. The Pirates organization did something really, really, really cool a couple of days ago, and I got to give a shout out to Christine over at His Security and Technology for sending me the story, because it is a great one. So there was a foul ball hit in a game, I believe it was Tuesday, a couple of days ago. There was a foul ball hit at PNC Park, and it landed in a seat, obviously. It landed in a seat. Turns out that seat was a season ticket holder's seat. And so what the Pirates organization did was they took that ball, they mailed it to that season ticket holder who would have been there, and said, you know, "Hey, this is a foul ball hit during the season. We wish you could have been there to catch it, but here is a small memento of what this 2020 Major League Baseball season is. Go Bucks, and hope to see you soon." That's awesome. I mean, fans can't be in the stands. I don't know why, you know, more Major League Baseball teams aren't doing something like this, and maybe more have. Maybe more have. They've gone unreported, but, you know, foul balls, auction them off. If it lands into a season ticket holder seats, send it to that season ticket holder. It's just something to continue to try to, you know, have that, I don't know, that relationship, I guess, with your fan base, especially the season ticket holders who pour in money each and every year. So saw that story again. Christine, the His Security and Technology, sent that to me, and I thank her. That is always something good, and that put a smile on my face. So that is my Tell Me Something Good here for this morning. It is Tell Me Something Good each and every Saturday at about 9:15. In God We Trust. All others we monitor, visit hissecurity.com today.
I have heard that, I cannot remember the team, but a game I was watching earlier in the season, the broadcasters indicated that if a foul ball hits your cardboard cutout that you have put into the stands, they will send you the ball and the cardboard cutout. So
that's cool.
Yeah, so I guess some other teams are implementing different strategies as to how to get the fans being interested and getting them involved somehow. And obviously a lot of sports teams playing without fans, trying to do everything they can to get their fan bases and get all the support that they can, especially with the NBA and the NHL playing postseason hockey. You wish you could have the fans there for an atmosphere like that.
I know it was a conversation. Sorry, I know it was a conversation. I don't know if it actually ever happened. Maybe it was a conversation with the KBO. Maybe it was a conversation with Major League Baseball. It's not happening in Major League Baseball. But was there ever? There's not. We haven't seen iPads or a screen put in seats and fans zooming in like they're watching the game in real life. We haven't seen that. But I feel like that was a conversation. I don't think that'll ever happen. But that would be kind of weird. But at the same time, kind of cool to see, you know, fans sitting in their seats via Zoom watching a game.
Yeah, you need a lot of iPads.
Yeah, be quite pricey, for sure.
A lot of iPads. He's Eric Kane. I'm Joel Soberg. Logan Ward producing this morning from the Budweiser Studios of Cumulus Broadcasting. Eric Kane is out at the Dog Days 4 nationally sanctioned regional canine aquatics competition, which will be going all weekend. You can check in with him. Village Green Shopping Center, 11505 Kingston Pike and Farragut in the parking lot just south of Steinmart and Planet Fitness. And across the street from his security and technology, which brings you Tell Me Something Good every week. We will come back. We got about a half hour left to go of Saturday Sports Talk next on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Saturday Sports Talk rolls on. Joel Silverberg and Eric Kane carrying you to 10 o'clock. The lead lap will start at 10 o'clock after we get off the air. And a big racing weekend coming up in Daytona. Can Kevin Harvick carry the momentum from having a fantastic week in Michigan, sweeping both races at Michigan International Speedway? And now you get racing in Daytona this weekend. So a big NASCAR weekend coming up. And the lead lap will have everything that you need to know starting at 10 o'clock to talk about all of it. And again, we invite you to join us in the next half hour, 656-9900. Eric Kane is down at the Dog Days 4 nationally sanctioned regional canine aquatics competition. They're going to have the speed retrieve, the big air, the extreme vertical. How fast can these dogs swim? How high can they jump? How far they can jump? Eric, a lot of fun. And they got started about a half hour ago, but it's going on all weekend, so people can still head down to the Village Green Shopping Center and check out all the action.
Yeah, we've heard from a couple of the awesome sponsors who help put on this event each and every year, and thanks to them for what they do and for coming by and talking with us. But, it started yesterday. It's going to be going on all day today, all day tomorrow, rain or shine. It's free admission. Come out and hang out. And, again, these are some of the top canine competitors in the world. It's right here in Farragut, right here in East Tennessee. So come on out and check it out. You know, Joel, like, you know, when we play football, it was always so much fun when we had that day of practice and it was just raining and you got to play in the rain, or that game that turned into a mud bowl, you just got to play in the rain. I can't speak dog, but they look like they're having so much fun out here jumping into a big pool of water when rain is coming down and hitting them as they run off the jumpway. So it's a lot of fun. It's a fun morning here already. It's going to be a fun day. Again, it's the Dog Days 4 event right here in the Village Green Shopping Center, 11505 Kingston Pike.
656-9900 if you'd like to join us. Star 990, a free call for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. And we were talking in the previous segment about college coaches speaking out and, again, about their frustration in the SEC about the strength of schedule and how the distribution was a little bit uncertain. Look, I am always about fairness in sport and competitive balance and all that, but in a year like this, yeah, I don't know what the formula was. And when coaches asked what the formula was for choosing the additional two SEC opponents, the SEC kind of admitted we didn't really have a formula. There was no format or anything like that, which did not make coaches happy. So
you can't just say that. You got to say something. But
yeah, like, you have to know if you're the SEC. At the very least, you have to come up with a fake answer. You got to do something. I don't know, when you are in some sort of administration or official position, the answer I don't know is never going to work.
Yeah, you should know better than that. I mean, especially when it's at this magnitude of college football in the Southeastern Conference. I mean, you could come out and say, hey, we're in a pandemic year, we're in a season like none other, not everyone's going to be happy, but this is what we're going to do, and this is why we did it. Just come out there and say that. Don't say, well, we didn't really have an actual formula for how we came about this. It sets yourself up for more questions and more embarrassment, really.
So on our website, 991thesportsanimal.com, there's actually a breakdown that we have for you of the SEC opponent record win percentage from 2019 for every SEC team with the two additional opponents. And then you can also see both the SEC win percentage and then the overall win percentage, which obviously would not apply as much to this year when you consider that there are going to be no non-conference games this fall. So, but if you look at the SEC opponent record win percentage from last season with the two additional opponents, Tennessee is actually tied for 11th, with its opponents having a combined 45 win percentage from last season, and that's with Texas A&M and Auburn joining the picture. So, and now, granted, the schedule was not as tough as it could have been for Tennessee last year, but obviously you have Tennessee. Texas A&M did not have a great season. Auburn lost a couple of games, but still ended up being a really good football team, but it still went 5-3 in SEC play.
True freshman quarterback, too.
Yeah, which 5-3 doesn't look great. Texas A&M went 4-4. Texas A&M had an insanely difficult schedule and was still competitive in some of those losses, but Texas A&M, the four SEC games it lost, Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, national champion LSU. So, doesn't necessarily tell the whole picture when you consider that Texas A&M last year was a five-loss team. Don't forget the Aggies also had to play Clemson, but now Texas A&M with Kellen Mond coming back are expected to jump and have jumped in the preseason coaches poll. They are expected to be a top 15 team this year. And earlier in the offseason, one publication actually had them as a top five team. Granted, this was before non-conference games were canceled and the addition of the SEC contest, the schedules have gotten tougher. So it has obviously been very different. It's been a different outlook, but you're still, the quality of the team is expected to be the same. You just may not get the same results because all these SEC teams now have to play each other.
And again, Logan and I were talking about this yesterday on his podcast, Third and Long, and I think we all kind of came to an understanding that in the normal season, Tennessee this year, and you're number three, 8-4. You have 8 wins, and you lose to the big three in Oklahoma. That, you know, you can vary from person to person you ask, but that was kind of usually the common answer. Now, with a 10-game all-SEC regular season, and Joe, we kind of talked about this last week. I thought, you know, 5-5, maybe 6-4. You know, if 8 wins was acceptable and you're number three under normal circumstances, how many wins is acceptable for Jeremy Pruitt now? You know, what could that look like? In a normal year, if Tennessee wins 5 games, I mean, whoever the head coach is, on the hot seat immediately. But 2020, all across the board, not in Tennessee, not just in Tennessee, but across the SEC and across the Power 3, if football does come to fruition, I think there might be a little bit more leeway. And again, could that lead to not as many coaches being fired in this offseason? I do think the coaching carousel will slow a little bit. There will still be coaches who are going to be fired. But point being, this season is not a mulligan by any stretch of the imagination. But I do think that when you factor in, you know, 4 years under Jeremy Pruitt, well, that 2020 season was 10-game regular season SEC. That's why you only had 5 wins, or that's why you only had 6 wins. I think all that will kind of come and play a factor down the road.
Yeah, and you know, we discussed what Tennessee's record could be, and we were discussing how 5-5 might, you know, might be a possibility. And we were projecting that the over-under for Vegas win total, if we played a 10-game season this year for Tennessee, would be about 5.5, right?
Yeah, I think it'd be sitting right there.
And so discussing, okay, well, 6-4, are fans happy with that? 7-3 is probably the most realistic ceiling where Tennessee fans are looking at it and saying, wow, Jeremy Pruitt did a really solid job. That likely means no bad losses, so no Georgia State or Vanderbilt, like you've seen the last two seasons. Mm-hmm. You're talking about 3 losses to, you know, 3 of the 5, Alabama, Auburn, Texas A&M, Florida, Georgia. It means you're getting 2 wins over those teams, so 2 high-quality wins, and it's another year where you're sweeping the SEC East outside of Florida and Georgia.
Yeah.
We had a tweet after the show, and Steve, we appreciate you listening, about how negative we were being about the possibility that, you know, Tennessee could go 5-5. ESPN Football Power Index came out shortly that afternoon, after our show ended, predicting Tennessee to go 4-6. So
If anything, we were being bossed.
Steve, we apologize for our over-optimism and our orange-colored glasses, but we appreciate you listening to Saturday Sports Talk. So, but that just goes to show Tennessee is expected to still be a good football team. The preseason coaches poll has them right outside the top 25 with Boise State and Kentucky, like a couple of other good football teams.
And that's what everybody, that's what the Pac-12. Now you take those conferences out of the equation. Tennessee 100% will be in the top 25 without a doubt. The next time, I would assume they're going to continue this poll. If you get the season going and you're in week one, week two, there will be a top 25. Tennessee will be in there for sure to start off the season because those two conferences are not. It is what it is. And again, I think that even if Tennessee finishes 5-5 this year in this 10-game regular season of the SEC conference only, schedule only, I expect Tennessee, if they don't win it, Tennessee will be very competitive against Auburn. I think Tennessee will be competitive against A&M. I think Tennessee can be, certainly, competitive in every game it plays. Now, there's a difference between being competitive against Alabama and Florida and Georgia and then being competitive, in my opinion, being competitive against A&M and Auburn. I think Tennessee can compete with any of those teams. I think Tennessee can very much beat the Auburns in the A&M. So, if the Volunteers somehow finish this year 7-3, I think that is a heck of a year, and Jeremy Pruitt deserves a lot of praise. But again, if you finish 5-5, and those five losses come from those five teams that are inside the top 13 of the coaches' poll, I mean, yeah, it doesn't look good. And yeah, if you want to take that next step and you want to be a great football team, you need to start winning some of those games. But at the end of the day, none of those losses are horrible. So though it might look bad 5-5, it's not a typical what would have been a 5-7 year.
Yeah, based on that ESPN FBI, I can tell you this. Fans will be legitimately angry if Tennessee only goes 4-6 in a 10-game schedule because that means you're not picking up high-quality wins and you're losing to either Missouri, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, or Kentucky. You're losing to one of those five teams, and none of those five games will Vol fans be okay with. Even if Kentucky ends up being a really good team, as they have been the last couple of seasons, or Eli Drinkwitz ends up doing really good things at Missouri or South Carolina bounces back, Tennessee fans are not going to be happy with a loss to any of those teams. They're never happy with losses, period. But if you're realistically thinking that Tennessee should go 10-0 this year, you've got some problems coming your way. But the idea with the SEC schedule being so tough is that you have so many opportunities to get quality wins. Yes. And Tennessee fans are sick and tired of seeing Tennessee strike out on those opportunities. And this year you have five. And so,
I was going to say, again, let's count the quality wins Jeremy Pruitt has so far. In 2 years, you have Auburn, you have Kentucky, and that's it, right? I mean, that's it.
Both from 2018, yeah.
Yeah, you do not have a quality win in the 2018 the 2019 season. So, as you just pointed out. Now,
and Tennessee fans are used to beating Kentucky. That's not going to satisfy Tennessee fans long term. And then that Auburn team ended up losing four games.
Yeah, yeah, and you're right. I mean, that Auburn team underperformed, but it's
five games,
so much
actually,
NFL
excuse
talent.
Me.
Yeah, that Auburn team still had so much talent on that roster. But nonetheless, Tennessee's used to beating Kentucky, despite Kentucky being the top 15 in the country at the time, the best team it ever had in program history. Tennessee still beat it, but we're used to that. But, to your point, as you just pointed out, Tennessee will have five chances to really pull off some quality wins. If the Volunteers beat A&M, Auburn, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, those are quality wins. So you can match, you can surpass the quality win total you've already had in 2 years here in this one season. But again, that's if Tennessee continues to progress, play as well as we believe they will on the line of scrimmage. Cade Mays coming in, to play. Will his eligibility be there? Can you replace some key departures on the defensive front and secondary? All that plays into it, but certainly a great opportunity here in 2020 for Jeremy Pruitt and Tennessee.
And Tennessee's getting ready to hit the pads coming up later this week. We'll talk about that next to wrap up today's edition of Saturday Sports Talk. Eric Kane is out at Dog Days 4, the nationally sanctioned regional canine aquatics competition. It's out at the Village Green Shopping Center in Kingston Pike and Farragut in the parking lot just south of Steinmart and Planet Fitness. That's 11505 Kingston Pike in Farragut. That's going on all day. They started at 9 o'clock this morning. Still plenty of dog tricks coming up. 150 dogs are competing in the event, so you have plenty of time to get over there. Keep in mind, free admission, fun for all ages. The attendees can shop merchandise, vendors, concessions between the events. You got a lot going on. Should be a lot of fun. Go out and check out these dogs because it's gonna be a good time. Eric Kane is already getting warmed up to go compete in the extreme vertical competition.
Yeah, not gonna be breaking any records today, but that would be a whole lot of fun. Again, the crowd starting to grow, following CDC procedures and social distancing. Invite you to wear your mask when you come in. But again, 400 jumps here today. 400 jumps. It's gonna be a whole lot of fun. They've already started to get going, and some of these dogs are just the cutest. So come on out, see for yourself. It's free admission right here at the Village Green Shopping Center, 11505 Kingston Pike and Farragut.
Dad joke alert from our guy Bobby Rader out in the Tri-Cities on WXSM, the sports monster. Kaner has gone to the dogs. Woof.
Oh, Bobby.
Come back. 656-9900 with Eric Kane. I'm Joel Silberg. Logan Ward producing this morning. Our final segment of Saturday Sports Talk coming up next as we talk Tennessee football on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Final segment of Saturday Sports Talk. Good gosh, Logan Ward. I'm not a huge theater guy, but Kane, you've heard about this Hamilton musical that came out earlier this summer, right?
Yeah, I have.
So, I just in passing during the break, I asked Logan Ward, our producer, "Hey, Logan, have you seen Hamilton?" And he goes, "No, what's it about?" And I go, "Alexander Hamilton." Logan's response, "Who's that?"
Oh, dear. Really given
one
all of us in
the
20s
founding
club.
Fathers.
It's 9:50 in the morning on a Saturday.
Of the United
See,
States
Joel,
of
when
America.
You said, "I'm not a theater guy," and then you pointed the conversation towards Logan, I thought you were going to say he's being very dramatic about his little hand injury. And I was like, "Dude, I know. I've heard about it for like 2 weeks now. He's going to have surgery. Wow. I thought that's the direction you were going.
I want to. What you told me the other day, Logan, was you tore a ligament in your thumb playing spike ball?
Playing spike ball.
Now, that is the game with the trampoline on the ground, the ball that
correct,
you spike back.
Correct,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, how did you hurt your finger?
I was serving, and I came down really low, and my thumb went straight into the turf field.
So you were standing up.
Yes, I was
serving
standing up.
A ball, which is, it's smaller than, like, it's about the size of your palm
of
your hand.
Yeah.
And you went so all out that you thought you needed to drive your hand into the ground.
Well, I wasn't trying to do that. I wasn't trying to hurt myself.
Logan Ward,
that's what happened.
Could throw a rock at the ground and miss. Seriously.
Yeah. He's been. I will say this. He's been complaining about it for like 2 weeks, and ultimately he's going to have surgery on it. So I do feel for him there. But
yeah. So, but he's not. He's going to play through the injury. He's not going to be. We're not putting him on the 10-day IL. He's going to be here next Saturday morning.
Yeah, he like right before he brought me back on the air, he said, ow, because you have to use your thumb to, do the IFB for those of you guys listening out there. And he's just like, ow, and I'm like, dude, stop being so dramatic. And
it's going to be very interesting running a board and like turning on the microphones and, touching the right button to start a commercial with, half my hand in a splint next Saturday. It's going to be very interesting. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Logan, how old are you?
21.
You didn't know who Alexander Hamilton is.
I know who he was. It's,
that's bad,
it's 9:50 in the morning.
That's bad.
I'm in history
buff. You've been at work for nearly 2 hours.
I know, but it's still so early. I haven't got used to
it. This is the second time in the past 2 weeks someone your age has disappointed me in some fashion of American history. I was talking to a buddy of mine who's 19 the other day. This guy is a drummer in a local band here in Knoxville. And he's talking to me about all the rock groups that he's listening to lately. And I go, oh, so do you catch any of Travis Barker? For those of you who don't know, Travis Barker is the drummer for Blink 182. He's like, no, I don't know Travis Barker. I'm like, oh, he's the drummer for Blink 182. Who's Blink 182?
Boy, oh boy.
And then I called him out on it later in front of a bunch of other friends. And he's like, well, Blink 182, you can't blame me for that. They're old. They are still active. They are still releasing new music. I'm sorry. I've had it with 20-year-olds. I'm just kidding. But seriously, Logan.
What's their genre? Are they like Nickelback?
You don't know who Blink 182 is?
I'll be honest with you. So whenever I do the starting lineup, I play, obviously Tyler and Will's bumper music. I see some songs called Blink 182.
Yeah.
I couldn't name any of their music, though.
do some research. Come back better prepared next week.
I don't even know the genre. Oh my god!
What is their genre? Honestly, is it
punk? Punk rock. They're like one of the fathers of punk rock.
So it's not like Nickelback?
Of like 90s, but no, it's not like Nickelback. Eric Kane, what do you got about Tennessee football practice expected to start on Monday?
Yeah, so with all the uncertainties and everything, SEC is going to open up fall camp this Monday. Tennessee will be on the practice field this Monday for practice number one. There'll be an acclimation period of just getting out there and nothing, then putting on the helmets, then doing the shoulder pads and helmets, and then down the line after a couple of practices, they will be in full pads. And so a big step for college football. You saw the Big Ten. A lot of teams were already in the middle of camp, and then they called it quits. The SEC, which has been kind of in a kind of an OTAs type deal, kind of in workouts, have been on campus and been together. We're going to strap it on and put on the pads and start working towards fall camp. And so that starts on Monday. Jeremy Pruitt will have a media availability sometime after practice, most likely. It's going to not be in person. We're going to have to tap into the Zooms there. But look forward to getting that underway. We'll have comments from Jeremy Pruitt, and looking forward to having practice reports starting on Monday as well, every morning on the starting lineup, every evening on Sports Talk, and on WIBK at 6:30. So, again, it feels weird, man. We still crossing our fingers and holding our breath about college football, but the fact that Tennessee and fellow SEC schools are beginning practice, that's a good sign.
What sort of stage are we expecting to see the Tennessee football team in? Obviously, the pushback from the start of the season by 3 weeks from September 5th to September 26th can kind of give some more time. But what's the expectation as to where the football team should be at this point in terms of preparation for the upcoming season next month?
Well, in terms of preparation, I think that this year, unlike any other, it's given freshmen and the younger guys so much meeting time and film study and chalkboard sessions. I mean, mentally, these guys should be about, more prepared for a season, more prepared for a fall camp than they ever have been. And so I think that's really going to help out, again, these freshmen who are new to the system, these transfers who are new to the system. But again, it's about applying it onto the field. So you're going to take what you've been learning in meetings the last 2 months, walk through it on the field, and then, when you strap it on and put the pads on, we'll see who can actually, carry it out. So mentally, I think we're in good shape. And I think that's across the board in all college football because you've had so much time this summer. So I think they're in good shape there.
Obviously, the one question that we've been getting a lot on the Eric Ames show is the discussion of a potential quarterback competition. I think that discussion is probably going to be tabled for 2021. I would just think with the season being delayed, returning quarterbacks losing their starting jobs in week one, especially to incoming recruits, just feels like that would be unlikely due to the fact that we really didn't have spring football this year.
And again, I just talked about how freshmen will have an opportunity to learn more and be more mentally prepared, more so than any year. I mean, that's Harrison Bailey, but we didn't see Harrison Bailey go through spring. We didn't see him in pads. We didn't see him compete in the orange and white game. And so that hurts freshmen. That hurts new quarterbacks all across the board. And so I'm with you, man. I mean, if there was ever even a hint of a quarterback competition at the beginning of the season, once the pandemic rolled around, I think that was put all to rest. Now, again, we get into the season and Jared Garantano digresses like he did at the beginning of last season, and you have no choice, then you're going to see Harrison Bailey and or Brian Maurer. But to start things out, I mean, you'd be almost crazy not to go with your veteran quarterback that has been there, done that, and knows your offense.
And Eric will have all of it for you. He'll have all the coverage. You can follow him on Twitter @_Kaner, and you'll have our practice reports for you'll have the practice reports for us throughout the entire, the entire season.
Yeah. And again, this is how long will we go? Will we have a complete season? Will practice get cut off in 2 weeks? We don't know. But every step of the way here at the Esports Animal, we're going to have you covered. Practice reports twice a day on our station in the 7 o'clock hour and in the 6 o'clock hour at night with John and Jimmy. And on Twitter, as you pointed out, @_Kaner, @SportsRadioWNML. We're going to keep you up to date on everything Tennessee football and a season of uncertainty right here on the Esports Animal.
Kaner, we appreciate it. We'll be looking forward to it the upcoming week. Enjoy the rest of the dog days for a dog aquatics competition out there at Farragut.
Yeah, again, special thanks to everybody out here for having us out here for the dog days for event. Had a lot of fun. I'm going to hang out and watch some competitions. Thanks to all the sponsors who helped put on this event. Thank you to Amy and Scott for coming by and speaking with us. Thank you so much to Jay Lyford for preparing the space, keeping it sanitized, and getting us on the here this morning. It's been fun. And, of course, if you are listening and want to come out, admission absolutely free. It's going to go on all day long. 11505 Kingston Pike and Farragut for the Dog Days 4 Aquatics event.
Should be a lot of fun. Again, check it out all weekend long. Free admission, and go out there and enjoy the event. Kaner, thank you. Our interviewees, Ashley and Scott, thank you. Logan, open a history book. Listen to some Blink-182. Thank you as well. And thank you for listening so much. Keep it right here for the Lead Lap Racing at Daytona this weekend. The Lead Lap coming up next right here. Saturday Sports Talk going to take a 166-hour break. For Eric Kane, I'm Joel Silverberg. This is 99.1 The Sports Animal.